For those of you who are visiting with us, we have Olympics fever here at Blakemore United Methodist Church. We're doing a sermon series during the month of August that's an Olympics-themed series, and it's called Living Your Passion. We're exploring those passions that God gives us and how we can live those out in the world. It's been quite a week at the Olympics, hasn't it? Anybody tuned in on watch some stuff? Yeah? A few disappointing moments, right? That always happens. The U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team lost, which they'd never lost in the Olympics before. In the whole history of the Olympics, they'd never lost, but they did. So that was disappointing. Serena Williams, the number one tennis player in the world, she lost in singles, doubles, and mixed doubles. Just, you know, very disappointing. But we've had some amazing moments as well, haven't we? Especially as the United States. We, of course, are leading in the medal count. We have more medals than any other country, more gold medals than any other country. And perhaps the two highlights so far have been gymnastics and swimming, right? Have you all seen some of those? The final five, the gymnastics women's team, right? Won gold medal. They blew the competition out of the water, like way far ahead of everybody else. Water, swimming, we'll talk about here in just a minute. And then Simone Biles won the Olympic gold all around, and we got silver as well with Ali Raisman. Amazing thing, Simone Biles, the margin that she won by was the combined, more than the combined margin from 1980 until the previous Olympics that all the women's all around had won by. Like, that's crazy. She's so much better than everybody else. And in swimming, oh my goodness, we're tearing it up, right? Michael Phelps, this is what, his 4,000th Olympic medal, something like that, right? He's just winning them all. And Katie Ledecky, oh my goodness, she's amazing, right? Fallen in love with her as a nation, haven't we? Olympics are just an amazing time for us as a country, for all the people of the world to come together and to celebrate these things, to be entertained, to celebrate what it means to be human, to watch the competition and celebrate all that we can do with our bodies. And to realize the passion that it takes for these athletes to do what they do. To train, to have the discipline that we've talked about already this morning, to fall in love with the sport and to pursue it over and over, day in and day out. I promise you each week I would give you a piece of trivia, and this is our trivia this week for the Olympics. The women's gymnastic team, as they train, they spend over 35 hours per day in the gym training. Sorry, 35 hours per week. That'd be really hard to spend 35 hours in a day, wouldn't it? 35 hours per week. It's basically a full-time job in the gym. And that doesn't include, like, their eating and stuff. This is actual training time that they're spending in the gym. 35 hours or more in a week. It takes discipline to be successful in the Olympics. And in many parts of our lives, doesn't it? The book of Hebrews tells us a little bit about discipline. We heard from chapter 12 today about discipline. Hebrews is a fascinating book in the Bible. We usually classify it as a letter. There are several letters in the New Testament that one person wrote to another or to a group of people. But Hebrews doesn't quite fit the mold of a traditional letter. Now, when we think about a letter, there's a form that goes to that letter, right? You always, you know, you put the date up at the top, and then you might put the address, then you put dear so-and-so. Then you write, and then at the end, sincerely, you sign your name, or yours truly, or whatever. Well, there was a form for letters in the days of the biblical writers as well. And those letters would always begin with naming who was sending the letter and then sending a particular greeting. But Hebrews doesn't start that way. And so it's not really quite a letter. We don't even know who wrote it because it's not indicated in the letter itself. It's really more of a sermon or a theological treatise. And like any good theological treatise, it's well organized. There are three main points in the book of Hebrews. And all three have to do with Jesus being greater and grander and better than someone or something else. So the first one of those is that Jesus is greater than the prophets from the Old Testament. He's able to do more miracles and has a greater message and all those things. The second is that Jesus is greater than the priests, those who intercede on behalf of the people with God and make sacrifices. And the third is that Jesus is greater even than the sacrifices that those priests make that bring forgiveness to the people. Because Jesus' sacrifice is for all of humanity, for all the sin that has ever been committed. And then we get to chapter 12, after we've gotten through these three points. And the first word in chapter 12 is therefore. And therefore tells you what comes next, what it's there for. All that other stuff told us about Jesus, and then we know the reason why. Jesus is greater than the prophets. He's greater than the priests. He's greater than the sacrifice. And because of that, we should follow Jesus. That's the whole point of chapter 12, for us to follow Jesus, to trust in Jesus, to be like Jesus. And the point of chapter 12 is that doing that takes discipline. It takes effort and work. Now, the author talks about discipline in a few different ways. He first talks about it in the athletic terms, which is what we're doing, right? We're talking about athletics, the Olympics, but we're not really talking about athletics, right? And the author's not either. He's using it as an illustration, as an example. He says we should run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And we all know that in order to succeed in athletics, it does take discipline, it takes work, it takes training, it takes all of those things. Next, the author talks about children and their parents and growing up. And that in order to grow up and be a successful and thriving human being, you need discipline in your life. You need parents who will correct you and teach you and train you, right? It's necessary to have that discipline in our lives. And so it is with following Jesus. Being a disciple requires discipline as well. And so, we have to have discipline. To be successful in athletics, to be successful in life as a grown adult human being, to be successful as a follower of Jesus. And I think by extension, we need discipline in order to be successful in following our passions, in living out our dreams and our desires, the callings that God places on our lives. We need discipline. We've got to have it. Otherwise, we won't succeed. In 2008, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Outliers. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. The title of the book has to do with people who are extraordinary. You know, most of us are what I would call normal human beings, and then there are some who are outliers, who are outrageously successful in life. And so he examines some of these people, people like Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, the Beatles, the greatest rock group of all time, Richard Oppenheimer, who led the Manhattan Project, and a few others. And he asked the question, what is it that sets these people apart from the rest of us? What makes these people so extraordinarily successful that makes them outliers for the rest of society and humanity? And he explores lots of different issues. And if you read the book, you can explore those with him. Things like the opportunities that they have when they're young, the environment that they're raised in, all these different things. But one of the things that he comes back to over and over again is what he calls the 10,000-hour rule. This might be something you've heard of. The 10,000-hour rule. The whole idea behind it is that in order to be great at something, to do something at an elite level, you need to practice and train doing that thing for 10,000 hours. That's a lot of hours, right? But if you break it down, it's really not as overwhelming as it might sound. If you do 40 hours per week at something, then it takes you 5 years to get 10,000 hours. And so if your passion, if your calling is your vocation, well, you do it for 5 years and you've got those hours in. You have the potential to be great at something. If your passion is not your vocation, you can't devote all that time to it, maybe 10 hours a week, well, then it would take not 5, not 10, 20 years to get those hours in. If you're able to just do 5 a week, which most people could probably do, an hour a day, not even, 20 years it would take to become great at whatever it is you're passionate about. And he gives some examples. He talks about Bill Gates in particular. And Bill Gates, as a young man, had a computer at home. Now, that probably doesn't shock us in today's culture. Just about everybody has a computer at home, right? But it was a big deal back then. Most people didn't have personal computers. But Bill Gates did. His family was in a situation where they could have one. And so he spent hours and hours and hours as a teenager and as a young adult coding on the computer. 10,000 hours he put in coding on the computer, learning all about how to write computer programs and all those things. And that's what set him up, at least part of what set him up, to succeed in business and life and to found Microsoft. He talks about the Beatles as well. And we all know the Beatles is a great rock band, but this I didn't know. In the early 60s, before they were big, before they made it huge in England and here in the United States, they lived in Hamburg, Germany for about 5 years, from 1960 to 1964. And they would practice and play day in and day out and do all these concerts. And they weren't famous, and you know, nobody flocked to see them like we see that some of you experienced and that others of us have seen on the news and stuff. But in those 5 years, they learned what it meant to be a band. They practiced over and over again, and they became great at their craft. They became amazing musicians because they put all that work and effort in. Now, there are, of course, critics of this theory, and some of these criticisms are valid. Some of it has to do with quality versus quantity of the amount of time you put in. Some people are just more naturally gifted than others, so maybe they might need more time or less time, but I think the adage is true. Practice makes perfect, right? We need to practice in order to become better, in order to become great at something. Danny and John Murphy are sharing their talents with us this morning. I would guess that they practiced a little bit. What do you think?
Need more practice.
Okay, there you go. No, I mean, they're outstanding musicians, right? And because of all the practice, all the effort, all the education they put into to learning their craft, we're able to enjoy it in amazing ways. Roseanne shared about her art and her painting and the effort that she puts in, showing up day in and day out. And she makes beautiful paintings, many of we have around the church. That's what it takes. It takes that kind of discipline. It takes practice. It takes all those things in order to become great at something. I think a lot of times when we think about our passions, we want to just fall in love with it and just automatically be able to do it, right? I mean, we discover this thing in ourself that gives us life and that brings us joy and energy, and we just think, well, I love this, so I can do it, right? But that's not usually how life works. It does take effort and intentionality to become good at those things. Even as a pastor, we have all these requirements that we have to go through in order to become a pastor. I feel called to this work. I've felt that calling since I was in college. And yet I had all these steps that I had to go through, all this education. I had to get a college degree. I had to get a seminary degree. I had to be interviewed by a bunch of people and do a bunch of projects and write a bunch of papers. And I still have to do continuing education and all these things to train and become the best pastor that I can be. I'm passionate about this work. I'm called to it. And yet it still takes work week in and week out. Just about every week, I prepare a sermon. And some weeks, I'm excited when I get to the office and I'm ready to write this thing and I have all these ideas in my head and just trying to figure out how to get it all together. But some weeks, it's not like that. Some weeks, I feel like I'm just don't even know what I'm going to talk about. But I sit there at the computer and I pray and I write and eventually something happens. Some weeks, it's better than others. But something happens because I show up week in and week out, and I do the work. And that's what it takes, friends, showing up week in and week out, day in, day out, to do the work. When I was a kid, I took piano lessons. Roseanne mentioned taking them as a young person. Sounds like she enjoyed them more than I did. I did not enjoy taking piano. I did it maybe 2-3 years, and I hated practicing the piano. I mean, I just couldn't stand it because I wasn't passionate about it, right? Music, especially piano, is not my passion. I enjoy music and wish I had a fraction of the talent that some other folks around here have, but it's not my passion. It's not what brings me to life. It's not what gives me joy and energy, and so I didn't put in the work and didn't become a great piano player, and I'm okay with that, right? But once you know your passion, I would imagine that you wouldn't be okay with not putting in that work. Usually we think of discipline as something very kind of negative, right? But it's a harsh term, something that's almost oppressive in some kind of ways. But when you're doing discipline around something that you love, around something that you're passionate about, then I don't think it feels that same way anymore. Sure, sometimes it's just like showing up to work and you got to do it. But I think most of the time it gives you life and gives you energy when you show up and do those things. And so part of our work as the people of God is to listen to those things in ourselves. If you think maybe there's something you're passionate about and you work at it and you hate it every moment of the day, maybe that's not what you're really passionate about. Maybe it's time to listen for something else. Because if you are doing your passion, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to love it, at least some of the time, right? I mean, I'm sure Simone Biles every day doesn't like going to the gym. But man, she has a huge smile on her face when she's out there competing, doesn't she? Just lights up the whole room. That is my hope and my desire for each and every one of us. That we can find what it is we're passionate about. And that we won't be afraid to put in the work to grow and to become good and even great at those things. And so my question for us today is, what are you willing to do to follow your passion? What work are you willing to put in? What sacrifices are you willing to make to follow your passion? I was listening to an interview, I think it was with Katie Ledecky yesterday. It was around lunchtime. It was recorded from, I think, the night before. I'm standing there in our living room eating a slice of pizza watching the Olympics. Right? And she's, you know, the interviewer asked her, what's the hardest thing that she's had to give up in order to do this? And she said, I haven't eaten pizza in 4 years. There I am, eating my slice of pepperoni pizza. But it takes some sacrifice to do these things. What is it that you're willing to give up? What is it that you're willing to do to follow your passion, to listen to your calling, to live out who God has made you to be? In a few moments, towards the end of the service, we'll have some time to spend in silence, thinking about that and making that commitment. But may our hearts and our minds already be open to those possibilities. What is it will we do? What steps will we take to live out the passion that God has given us? Amen.